Tonight's reading will be from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained.
Well, last night we had the opportunity to watch the movie Joy. Joy Mangano is a hardworking single mother. She's trapped in the quicksand of poverty and a dysfunctional family. And she invents the miracle mop. And the story is about how she takes this invention to the market and a lot of things that happen along the way. But the most tragic person in her life is Joy's mother, Terry. And Terry has been wounded. And she copes by watching soap operas in her bedroom for the rest of her life. And there's an interesting little play that they have going on, because as you look back on it, you realize that they show Terry's mom over about a 30-year period, and she's always watching the same soap opera, and the characters are saying the same lines, and they never change. And it's a metaphor for her life. She is stuck in a soap opera saying the same lines and never changing. She has stopped growing. And one of the questions I want you to think about tonight is this. Have you? Are you still growing? God wants us to grow. Ephesians 4:15, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Hebrews 6:1, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We could go through dozens more. God wants us to grow, to become mature, to know him, to become everything that he created us to become, to take the place in the world that he wants us to have. To me, nothing is sadder than some things are sadder. The king of hyperbole here, right? One of the things that is sad, let's say that, is when you sit in a restaurant and you see an older couple not talking. And they sit there for about 45 minutes. For somehow, Cracker Barrel comes to mind in this image. I don't know why. So you're sitting at Cracker Barrel, and they come in and sit there. Don't say a word. He picks up the check, and they go out. They have nothing to say to each other anymore. Why? Well, that happens as you get older. No, come on. No, it doesn't. Doesn't have to. They have nothing to say to each other because they stop growing. Like a character in a novel I read once, he was described as buried at 70, dead at 34. Are you still growing? How do we keep growing? I think that's the question that Paul's trying to address tonight in this passage. He's describing his own experience with spiritual growth. And we have to remember when we read this, to read it in context, you remember what the Philippians is all about? It's a letter on a mission. This is a missionary who's in jail, who's planning his next missionary effort, writing to a church that he planted on a missionary journey about future missions that he wants to take. So Paul is not a mystic in a cell. He is a mystic on a mission. And so when he talks about spiritual growth, he is talking about knowing Christ and being loved by Christ and being changed by Christ. And he is talking about that experience. But it's all in the context of his mission in the world, his purpose in the world, his desire to live for Christ in the world. So the goal of the Christian life isn't just that we know Christ intimately. It's that we know him, as he says in verse 10, in the power of his resurrection as we go about our work in the world. Look what he says. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. That's comforting. The greatest missionary in the world, the greatest theologian in the world, begins by saying, I don't have this all figured out. You know, if anybody got close, probably him. But he can say, I got a long way to go in this knowing Christ thing. I'm not there yet. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. The Greek word for press on is the same word that Jesus uses in Acts 9 when Jesus says to Paul, who's going to Damascus to kill Christians, why do you persecute me? Or why do you hunt my people down? And so he's using the same word here. And so essentially what he's saying is, I am on a hunt for Jesus Christ. I am chasing after Jesus Christ. I am pursuing God with the same passion I once pursued Christians to kill them. He's a God chaser. Now, he's going to use some pretty sweaty words in this little paragraph to describe what it looks like to chase after God, to pursue him, to hunt after him. And he's drawing these words from familiar terms that would have been, if they had sports pages in the first century, I guess they didn't, but if they had, these would be sports writers' metaphors for a long endurance race where a runner strains to keep going. And that's how Paul describes his walk with Christ. He is saying essentially, you know, I am laying it all on the line for this thing. I am giving everything I possibly can to pursue Jesus Christ and become everything I'm supposed to be. And if you've been with us the last few weeks and you've been following along as we look at Paul in the earlier verses talking about his rescue from legalism, one of the things you might be asking is, well, no, wait. I thought this was all of grace. I thought we rest in Christ and he does it. Where's all this sweaty work language coming from? And by the way, if you're a Christian, you got to get used to tension. You got to get used to holding things in tension. There are two truths that are in tension in how we become more like Christ. One of those truths is Christ does it all. He saves us. He forgives us. He continues to live through us. He even makes sure that we get to the end. Christ does all that. On the other hand, you got to work your nose off to keep going. They're both there. There are both there. There is work involved in this. But his motivation has changed now. He says that he presses on because he has been found by Christ. Jesus has made me his own. Why does Paul pursue Jesus so hard? Because he is afraid that if he doesn't do it right, he'll be judged? No. He pursues Jesus so hard, he pursues spiritual growth so diligently because of love. He has been loved. He's in love. He wants to know love. He wants to share love. That's his motive now. And that's the motive that we have when we try to grow spiritually. Because, let's just be honest, growth is hard. It's really, really hard to grow spiritually. You know, if you're here tonight, maybe there's an addiction going on in your life, and you're ashamed of it, you don't like it. It's just really hard to break that addiction. You may have a way of relating to people that constantly leaves them feeling judged and condemned by you. And you wonder why people withdraw from you. You know, it's hard to change the way that you relate. You may really be struggling with some emotional problems tonight. It's not easy to change those things. You might be bored. Sometimes one of the hardest things to do in life is to follow hard after God when you're bored. When tomorrow morning is kind of boring. So what motivates us? Fear? No. Love. It's love. Well, Paul goes on to talk about what pressing on looks like for him. And he says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he describes this spiritual life as running a marathon. And he says there's two things that I think about as I try to run this marathon. One is I forget what's gone before. He says one of the things I have to do if I'm going to keep going spiritually is I've got to just put away the things that went before. And he doesn't really say what that is. He, you know, it could have been when he persecuted the Christians. Maybe he feels guilty and ashamed of that. It could have been the suffering he endured. We don't know what it is. But it's a principle here that one of the things that keeps us from moving forward spiritually are unresolved issues from the past. Where particularly you can't forgive someone who hurt you, or you can't forgive yourself for a mistake that you made. Those will shut the whole thing down. They'll shut the whole thing down. And maybe one of the things that you could ask during Lent is a great time to kind of look at your spiritual journey. Maybe one of the things you could ask God during this Lent is there anything in my past that's keeping me from moving forward spiritually? And here's what's hard about this is I find a lot of times I don't know. That these things, these events in our past, these traumas in our past, these relational goofs up in our past, these disappointments in our past, these cancers in our past, we think we've moved on them, and at some level we have, but they're like buried in the sand underneath our soul somewhere. And so you wonder, why can't I move forward? Why can't I go? Why can't I go? Well, there's something broken in the past that you haven't dealt with yet. And that's why community is so important. That's why being close to people, walking close with people, praying with people, being in the Word, all of those things will help you dig out what those things are. Well, Paul says not only does he forget what lies ahead, he says he strains forward to what lies ahead. And again, it's an athletic metaphor. He just does everything he can to keep moving forward. And one of the things I want you to see here is that appropriating all the resources of grace requires intentionality and effort. See, one of the things I don't want us to hear, you know, we hit grace really hard the past 2 weeks, and we talk about grace a lot, and that's very, very important. But sometimes people think that any kind of intentionality or discipline or goal or structure or practice is legalism. It can be legalism, but it also must be there if you're to grow spiritually. You can't grow in any relationship without some structure to it. And so part of straining to finish the race, straining to become everything that we are meant to become, is that you do what Suzanne shared last week in her offering. You develop a kind of a rule of life, a kind of a plan. You hold it loosely. You trust in God to do it through you. But you say, you know, this year, here are a couple of things I'm going to do to make sure my character is being conformed towards Christ. And you don't kill yourself if you can't meet it and all of that, but you got to have some kind of a plan. You say, yes, this year I'm going to go to the Monday night Bible study. This year I'm going to grab some people and form a group, and I'm going to email Doug, and I'm going to get those discussion questions, or we're going to press into this. Or this year I'm going to mentor a kid through Boys and Girls Club. All these different things. You got to have a plan. It won't just happen. Nothing just happens. After Suzanne shared last week, I wrote down my own rule of life. I do a lot of things already, but just felt a little tweaking. I wrote a couple things. One, I said, this year I think I'm going to try to pray through a book called The Divine Hours, where it has little prayers for morning, noon, and evening. I'm just going to, just a way I'm going to try to make myself open to God. I shared with you last fall that I struggled with depression last year. And I never could figure out what was going on. So I decided this year I'm going to see a counselor. I decided that whenever I was in conflict with someone, I would try to immediately turn towards them. And the last thing I decided was that in my past I have some experience with the so-called gifts of the Spirit. I got a little hurt, shut them off. And I felt the Lord saying, dust those off again in a safe way, safe place. And that's another way I want you to be intentional about going forward. Could you make a list like that? Not a law. You're going to fail. Not a New Year's resolution. But a plan about how you're going to move forward. But when you listen to Paul talk about the spiritual journey, you know, and he talks about it as in a lot of other places too, particularly Corinthians, as this long race where there's all these obstacles, and at the end you finally make it home. It reminds me, and I'm sure many of you, of the great stories in so many cultures about growth. A lot of times they're called hero journeys. And they start off with a hero who is called out of some boring place. He's invited into a great journey. He leaves the boring place, goes out and starts to pursue this great adventure. He usually, some wise guide will come along the way, maybe a friend or two. He usually will meet some kind of a dragon or some huge obstacle. He'll have to fight the dragon or get the sword or something like that. And then he's usually wounded along the way. And the hero will eventually come back home with a blessing to give to his community. I mean, that's Star Wars, right? At least the first ones. I still don't know what's going on in the rest of them. But the first one, a farm boy, backwater planet, invited to this great adventure. Two droids carry a hidden message from a mysterious princess, a wise guide, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Here's how to get the power. They get the power. He and his friends cross the galaxy, rescue the princess. He's triumphant. He comes back at great personal cost. That's like every story in the world. And we love them. Why? I think because God hardwired into our hearts this arc. We've all got to go on the hero's journey. And you're never going to come home with the blessing if you don't slay the dragon. There's a battle to be fought. There's suffering that has to occur. And I think what Paul is saying to those of us that are on the hero's journey is, don't quit. I got an email today from somebody in another state, and you know, one of the beautiful things, you've been in ministry a long time, you have relationships with people all over the place, and he just poured out his heart in this email, and he essentially says, I want to quit. Every hero gets there. You may be there tonight. I think what Paul is saying is, beloved, don't quit. Press on, strain forward, forget what went behind. Keep going. And there's a blessing in there for you and for those you love. Well, then he adds a little phrase that only Paul would say. Let those of us who are mature think this way. You know, I wouldn't recommend you try that in your relationships, but Paul was an apostle and he can get away with it. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we've attained. What is he saying? I think what he's saying is, look, I know you don't want to hear this. I know there are people in your community that are talking about quick fixes and shortcuts and how if you do this, this, and this, everything will work out. Let me lay it to you straight. It doesn't work that way. It's a hero's journey. It's a long, long race. And you're going to want to quit. Listen to me, he says. I'm telling you the truth. I won't give away the end of the movie with Joy, but Joy chooses to slay the dragon and her mother doesn't, stays in her bedroom with the soaps. We've all got a choice to make. What will yours be?